Rashina is a full-time nurse at the High Point Health Center Hospital, Dillsboro now, which was Dearborn County Hospital. Yeah, Dillsboro, Dearborn County Hospital. And so you started, what, about a month or so ago, full-time? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but don't you be sleeping on me. Okay, well, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Hadn't been long ago I preached from chapter 3, but it was 1 through 13. And if you notice in verse 1, it says, "For this reason," and then in verse 14, or verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "For this reason, I, Paul," and then verse 14 says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." So Paul is talking about in the first part of this chapter about the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, Jesus Christ, how awesome it is, the saving power of Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, he says, "For this reason," again, and he's talking about his love. So follow along with me as I begin with verse 14, Ephesians chapter 4. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name, its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith," and it does take faith, "and that you, being rooted and grounded in love," there's that word love that Paul talks about, "and then may be able to comprehend with all the saints which the breadth and length and height and depth." That covers it all, doesn't it? And then verse 19, "and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us." And then verse 21, "to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Well, that covers a lot, doesn't it? Talking about the mystery of Christ, and now he's talking about the love of Christ, which surpasses all of our knowledge and all of our comprehension. But he brings us down to a focal point, which Paul always does, to help us understand what our walk and our knowledge of God's love, you know, can you comprehend it? Can you really understand the magnitude of God's love? And I do believe that Paul did recognize that when he was on the road to Damascus. He showed grace to Paul that day, that he going about persecuting the Christians, and how God did blind him temporarily, but he got his attention. But he showed great love, and that's what the love that Paul is talking about, that it's hard for him to comprehend, and he's passing that along to us to comprehend, you know, comprehending each other's love that we have for one another. And it brings me to ask you this question. Have you ever wondered why it's so hard to live the way that you want to live, that God wants you to do? Have you ever wondered how hard to live the way that you know that God wants you to live? You ever thought about that? You ever think about it? Well, we should. Paul thinks about it. You know, you have that little temptation that keeps getting you no matter how hard you try. It keeps nagging at you, pulling on you. You may be like Paul when he says in Romans chapter 7, he says, I don't do what I ought to do. Do you have that feeling? You feel that way sometimes? You don't do what you ought to do. And then he says, and I do what I ought not to do. You ever feel that way? Ever get in that situation? That's Paul. And then he said, what a wretched man I am. You ever feel that way? Well, by God's grace, you know, no matter how wretched we are or how bad and terrible we are, God loves us. He wants us to live for Him. So it's really hard to follow God sometimes, isn't it? It's even though we say we believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we believe it, but what parts do we really believe? The parts only that we do obey? We should be obeying the entire Word of God and put it into practice. So I'm going to suggest today the reason we love our sin more than we love our God. That is, maybe, we don't really understand how much that God really loves us. If we truly understood how much God loves us, I think we would do much better in living out our Christian life day by day. I do. And could that be true? Consider the example of some rebellious teens or even people sometimes. The reason they push their curfews or hang around wrong kids and make bad decisions is because they don't really understand and know how much their parents really love them. It takes me back when I was a teenager. I always met curfews because I had to be in early. I mean, here I was a guy and the girls had to be home. They could be home later. I had to be home at 10 o'clock. And so I always met my curfews. I was only late one time. That's when I got a speeding ticket. The police made me be late getting home because they had me pulled over. But it wasn't really my fault. It was their fault, you know, that I got. he got up on my bumper and he rode my bumper for a while. So I had to speed up away from him. And that's when he pulled the lights on. So I thought it was somebody playing tricks with me, but it was actually them just checking me out, I guess. But you know, when we think about that, you know, in healthy homes, the parents just want their kids to be safe and to grow into healthy adults. And they only want the best for their kids. I knew my parents always wanted the best for me. That's why my mother said, when I leave or go out of the house, you be good now. I want the best for you and so forth. You be good. But the kids don't see that, I don't think, always, because they really don't know how much their parents really love them. Because we discipline, it shows that we do love them. Just like God disciplines us sometimes when we stray away from Him. So if it's true in our relationship with each other, maybe it's true for us and God. So today, you know, we're going to focus on a difficult task, getting our hands around God's love. And that's what Paul is talking about here in these verses, getting his hand around God's love. See, Paul already told us it was difficult because in verse 18, he prays in verse 18 that we might grasp it more, grasp his love more. So let's try to grasp more of it today, of God's love. As we think about this love that is wide, it's long, it's depth, you know, Paul mentions that. It covers the whole magnitude of the height, depth, width, and length. So as we think about this love that is wide and long and high and deep, I want to focus on each of those words as we try to wrap our hands around the love of God. And I'm going to be able to cover two of those today. So the first one is, you know, getting our hands around God's love. But in verse 19, it said, this love that surpasses all knowledge. Can you comprehend that? He said it's much greater than we can even imagine. It's the love of God. So, as we look, that we know that God is love. It's wide. It's all-encompassing. So, when I think about God's love being wide, I think of it as all-encompassing. See, God has enough love for you and me. God has enough love for blacks and whites, browns and yellow, and everything in between. God has enough love for the rich and the poor. And he even has enough love for the middle class. God has enough love for Americans, Europeans, Africans, Asians. The whole multitude, magnitude of God's love covers the span of this world. God has enough love for conservatives. He has enough love for liberals. God has enough love for terrorists. And we might think, how could God love them? You know, he hates what they do. He hates evil. And anybody that is a part of that, but he loves his creation, his people. See, God has enough love for people that stir trouble everywhere they go. God has enough love for Christians that doesn't meet up to his expectations. And how many of us today know that we meet God's expectations of our lives? How hard are we really trying as Christians to meet his expectations? And even though we don't, God still loves us. See, God has enough love for that medical provider who misdiagnosed your progress or whatever he diagnosed. See, God's love is all-encompassing, so no one is left out of God's love. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, the Lord is patient towards you. Aren't you glad God's patient? Are we patient? Really patient? We don't always show our patience. We're sitting in a red light or a stop sign or something and have to wait in traffic for a couple hours or so. We get impatient, don't we? But God, Peter says God is patient towards you, not wishing anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And you see, God wants every one of us, everyone in this world, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to come to repentance. When we recognize God's love and understand it to the magnitude of what Paul is talking of here, we will better understand why God is tarrying today, not coming back. He could come back anytime. I mean, the conditions are favorable. The world situation, the way things are unfolding, is favorable for him coming anytime. But I do believe it is the reason he's tarrying, not coming back. It's because he wants that last sinner that's going to be saved receive the free salvation that he offers. And that's why he is waiting before sending Christ back in judgment. And it will be judgment when he comes back. God wants everyone to come back to their Creator. In John chapter 3:16. Now that's where it started off, wasn't it? For God so loved the world. See, God loves everyone. And we know that, but did you also know that God's love for you is all-encompassing as well? He loves you. You know, I was just thinking about that this morning. He loves our warts. He loves our dimples, freckles, whatever's on your face, on your body. He loves you regardless, unconditionally. He loves us all. If you look at the Word of God, He loves us unconditionally. And if you look that up in the dictionary, unconditionally, it's talking about God's picture of love, unconditionally. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul goes on to talk about, but God demonstrates His own love before us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, while we go about our lives sinning, God still loves us unconditionally. See, that's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? That God loves us unconditionally. See, don't try to clean your life up to come to God. We can't do that. I remember a few years ago, and I might have shared this with you a few years ago, but when I was at Brush of Fork, I was going into Madison, going to the hospital to visit one of my members and so forth, and I was driving down the four lane, and I noticed this truck, his camper top just blew off. I saw it go up, and it just kind of floated down. And I pulled off the side of the road, and I was on the four lane, opposite. He was going the other direction, and no one pulled over for him. So I go on up to the next intersection, turn, and come back, pull in behind him, and here this older gentleman, he must have been in his probably early 80s, he was trying to lift that up on his back to put it back on. So I grabbed one side, and he got the other, and we set it back up on his truck. His clamps had come undone, and it blew off. So he was huffing and a puffing. I said, why don't you just sit here on your tailgate and rest a few minutes before you take off? So we did get it all fastened back. And he thanked me for helping him and so forth. And he found out I was a preacher because I told him I was and so forth. So he started telling me stories, like preachers. Here I was supposed to be telling him stories. He was telling me stories. And we was talking about the gospel and repentance and so forth. And he said, you might want to use this sometime in your sermon about repentance or trying to, you know, get clean your life up before you come to the Lord. I said, yeah, you can't do that, can you? He said, no. He said, let me give you a good illustration. He said, you like to fish? I said, yeah. He said, when do you clean those fish? When you're sitting on the side of the bank and bringing them in, when do you clean them? You clean them in the water or you clean them when you get them on the bank? I said that, but pretty obvious, the only time you can clean them is when you get them in your hands. He said, that's the same with God, isn't it? He cleans up our life once we are in His hands, and He shows us that love. A perfect illustration of repentance, showing God's love for us. See, when you consider how wide and how in compassion God's love is, then we pass it on to others. You know, he was passing that on to me, wasn't he? He sure was. See, you never run out. See, love people because they carry the image of God. And that's what you're doing at Rashina. Carrying the love of God to other people. Maybe never see it, never have the opportunity to help themselves and do the things that they want to do, other than having those to come or those to help show their love, you know, to other people. See, love people because God loves them. God is wide and His love is deep and long. Secondly, it's all-seeing. It's long. I mean, it's all-seeing, God's love is. See, God can see long range. God knows how things are going to turn out. We don't always know how things are going to turn out. And you don't. I don't. We all see short range. We all, I think, are nearsighted. How many of you are nearsighted? Okay. How many of you are foresighted? Well, that's what God is. He's foresighted. He sees long range, way out there, a lot further than what we look. See, God knows the rest of the story, kind of like Paul Harvey when he was living. He would give you the story, and then he would give you the rest of the story. And see, God knows all the story. He knows everything. See, God's love permeates your whole life from the beginning to the very end. He's in control of all of it. See, he's our creator. And your creator was there with you when you were born, and he will be there with you when you die. He'll be right there. We, you, and I, we cannot escape God's love. And Romans 8, pretty well sums it up where Paul says, "For I am convinced." How many of you are convinced of God's love? Well, I am. I'm very convinced. Because Paul said, "I'm convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the presence or the future, nor any power, nor height, depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, your future is secure in God's love. See, so our action point is you trust the future to the one who holds the future. See, we don't need to worry about what's going to happen. See, God has it in his hands. Bill Keane says, "Yesterday, the past, tomorrow's the future, but today is a gift." That's why it's called the present. Pretty nice analogy, isn't it? When you trust your future to God, because God's love is what? It's long, it's all-seeing. And you can live fully in his presence, enjoying the life God has given you. You know, I enjoy the life God has given me. He's given us everything. And we should thank him each day. You know, you still need to plan ahead and sort through all of those things. But Scripture talks about doing those things. But you can do those without worrying. And we do that by submitting our plans to the Lord, because he alone knows the future. And then in closing, this reminds me of the old gospel song that we used to sing or often sing, "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow." It goes like this: "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand." And he does. God holds our hand. So true. God is wide, he's long, and it's also his love is high and it's deep. And when we think about God's love in this magnitude, we can know that no matter what we do in this life, no matter where we go, what are we doing, see, God is always with us. His love surrounds us, encompassing. It's challenging. It's all-seeing. It's all-knowing. And we are to share that love as well. And when I think about God's love, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he was looking at each one of us, and he put our name, "For God so loved you." You can insert your name. And in turn, Paul is saying, love one another, care for one another, extend those privileges to others so that they too may know the love of God. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for your great love. Understanding it, as Paul says, some kind be difficult. And if we knew of your great love, we would try even harder in our lives to meet your expectations. And we do it maybe unconsciously sometimes, but if we really stop to think and pray, Lord, where am I coming up short? What are these temptations in my life? Why do I keep yielding to them? Why do I keep allowing them into my life? Why keep submitting and doing these things, as Paul says in Romans chapter 7, you know, I do the things that I know I shouldn't do, and I want to do the things I ought to do. And when we stop to think about it, and when we surrender and yield our lives to you totally, we have a better opportunity to live up to your expectations. And Lord, the most important thing, the most important decision that we can make in this life is to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And that's when you completely take over our lives. And as we yield each day, as we grow closer to you each day, as we get into your word, and we need to be in your word each day, just not here on Sunday morning, just not on Wednesday night, but make it a point to have time with you, to listen to your voice. Because, Lord, in the middle of our test of this life, you are quiet. You're molding us and making us what we ought to be. And I thank you, Lord, that you're a God of love and discipline. And one of these days, you will be judging each one of us. And Lord, you're a righteous judge. You're a loving judge. Because you gave your life for each one of us. That's a great love, much more than we can comprehend. We talk about it and think about it, but do we know the magnitude of your great love? If we did, we would share it more with one another. We extend our own lives even more as servants. So, Lord, what your calling is this morning in our lives, may we be willing to step up, step out, go out, and share your love. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be standing and singing Have Thy Own Way, Lord. And this morning, if you're here and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you'd like to come talk to me, pray with me about that, I'm here in the front. I'm willing to spend as much time. But find out what God is wanting to do in your life. Whether it be salvation, or church membership, or maybe a vocational, something God's calling you to do in life, He's still calling. First to salvation, and then to service. So let us sing verse 1, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.